Praise the Lord. You love them? Nice to be back here again tonight for round two. You know, you'd think that devil would get tired of all the black eyes and bloody noses. He's faithful. Keeps coming back for more. Well, I think there's more tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. As has already been said, we're very, very thankful for what the Lord did this morning, and just spiritual food in due season. Just it's a real feast that we're feasting on in this hour. And you know, people are out there with questions. Nobody knows who to believe. Nobody knows who to trust. And yet you have the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. We are such a blessed people tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Appreciate what the Lord did this morning, but we've got our cup and saucer tonight, and say, fill it up, Lord, to overflowing. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you wouldn't mind standing, we'll invite our brother Andrew to come out and minister the word once again. Amen. I have a maker. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in. I think we might be too high, don't you? I think we're a little high. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. Amen. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a father. I have a father. He calls me his own. He calls me his own. Think about it now. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. Hallelujah. He knows my name. My every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Amen. Let's sing it again. I have a maker. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He knows my name. Each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. One more time. Oh yes, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me. Call,
he hears me when I call, and he hears me when I call. Amen. You believe that this morning? Amen. The Bible said the time will come that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Amen. Love the Lord this evening. Amen. Isn't he a good God? Amen. I thank the Lord this morning, or this evening, that we're back in the house of God once again to partake of his word and to hear his word and to be in his presence and his spirit. I tell you this morning, the Spirit of the Lord moved among us in a special way, and I pray something was said to help you and to bless you and to encourage you and just to keep pressing the battle. Amen. We're almost home. Amen. I don't know if you can see it or not, but from where I'm standing, I can see the home lights. Amen. I believe every one of us here tonight can see those lights of home, and any day now, we're going home. Amen. Well, God bless you this evening. While you're standing with us, if you have your Bibles, we'll go straight to the word. I'd like to invite you to the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter. And while you're turning there, we want to just greet you in the name of the Lord once again. Sure want to say it's been an honor and a privilege to be here at Love Divine Fellowship once again with you all. And sure good to see everyone out again tonight and all of our friends here. We say God bless you. And sure appreciate Brother Doug and appreciate his friendship. And I have to pick on him here a little bit. We was talking in the back room and he was talking about it. He was actually with me when I killed my first turkey. And every time I say something about it to him or something, he'll always remind me he's got the scar. And if you ever want to see it, it's there on his hand. So, amen. I don't know if he's reminded me he's got the scar or he was with me when I killed my first turkey. But he's got the scar on his hand to prove it. Amen. And I told him, he said, we get over on the other side and all of our battle scars. And where'd that scar come from? I just said, well, in the house of my friends. Amen. Amen. But we sure appreciate Brother Doug and appreciate his friendship. He's been a friend to us, and my wife and I am, and Sister Jennifer, and we say God bless you and the family. We just want to look here again in the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter. I want to look in the 7th verse. The Bible here says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy. Isn't that something? Doesn't say to have or to see, but to hear joy. And gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all of mine iniquities. And create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And David says, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And I want to look in the book of Joel, the first chapter. Joel, the first chapter, and we want to look there in the first chapter of the 12th verse there. I was telling Brother Doug in the back room there, had a thought on my heart and been praying about it, and I didn't know if it was the direction to go tonight or not. And then Brother Dutch there in his prayer at the end of the service just basically prayed there in one sentence the thought on my heart. So I believe this is the way to go this evening. In the book of Joel here, the first chapter in the 12th verse, the prophet here writing says, the vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Now, why is all these trees withered? Why is the vine dried up? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Joy is withered away from the sons of men. Then you look in Joel just one chapter over in the 21st verse. You read Joel 1 and Joel 2. You hear some very, Brother Bram calls it some very sad terms, some very sad writings. All these things dried up, all these things dying. But in the 21st verse, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down For you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore. Amen. The Lord here is saying, this is prophetic, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that it dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. How many believes that this evening? Amen. I believe I'm looking at some of those people tonight that will never be ashamed. Amen. Let's bow our hearts together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we so appreciate the spirit and the atmosphere that we feel in the building here this evening. Lord, I believe that it's atmospheres like this that revivals break forth. I believe it's atmospheres like this that sick are healed. Lord, that demons are cast out. Lord, that lives are changed, that hearts are turned in different directions, oh God. Lord, I believe it's in atmospheres like this that people receive the Holy Ghost and receive the pardon of the blood of Jesus Christ. So tonight, God, as we gather here, we don't gather for form or fashion. We don't gather to be seen or to be heard. But Lord, we gather here to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, may you open up the windows of heaven, Lord, and may you pour out a blessing upon this people tonight, Lord, that they would have not room enough to receive. Father, may you drive out every cold spirit, every unbelieving spirit, every spirit that would try to hinder the move of God in any way. Oh, I pray tonight, God, you would cast it away from the hearts of your children. Let liberty come in this meeting tonight, Father. Let restoration and renewal and refreshing come from the presence of Almighty God. And whatever is accomplished, we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. And all the believers said, amen, amen and amen. And may God bless you this evening as you have your seats there for just a few moments. Amen. How many loves the Lord? Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. It's true. It's inspired. It's infallible. Amen. And it's inspiring to the hearts of those that hear it. Amen. From those scriptures tonight, I want to, by the help of the Lord, for just a few moments, maybe just to speak to you from something that's burning up on my heart tonight. And if I would title it, I want to speak to you on the restoration of joy. The restoration of joy. I think it's amazing that we have a prophet of God that has come in this age and has preached a message. And it's not a message so much of condemnation or a message of guilt or heaviness, but to the sons and daughters of God, it is a message of joy. We have received a message of joy. Amen. The world is full of sorrow. Our nation is full of sorrow. The world is full of sorrow. Amen. But right in the middle of all this sorrow and all this confusion and all this bitterness, amen, God has sent some joy to the sons and daughters of His. And I've just recently been going through back through the year of 1962 and studying through there. And I'm about halfway through it now. And you'll know that in the early part of 1962, the prophet preaches a message called the restoration of the bride tree. Now, here in David, in Psalms 51:12, David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. That word joy actually means gladness. Amen. Exultation or rejoicing. So David is actually saying, amen, restore unto me the exultation. Restore unto me the rejoicing. Restore unto me the gladness, amen, of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, as I said, God has sent a prophet in this generation, and there's been many statistics that has been given. There's been many church statistics, religious statistics, all kinds. Amen. But can I give you a prophetic statistics tonight? The prophet said, the Holy Spirit's here. If you've fallen weak, lukewarm in your experience, and you'd like to be renewed again. He said, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He had not lost his salvation, but he lost all the joy. And I think that goes to about 95% of the church today. He said 95% of the church today is losing the joy of their salvation. He said, but David was so moved by the Spirit that he would stand there and scream out,
out, amen, but restore unto me, amen, the joy of thy salvation. David knew that he had salvation, amen, but he was not just happy having salvation, amen, but he wanted the joy of his salvation. In other words, amen, David wanted to be restored back, amen, to where he enjoyed being in the presence of God. He enjoyed coming to the house of God. And I think tonight, church, amen, if I could say it this way, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, don't worry, you won't be doing it long. Amen. Amen. If you don't enjoy the job you're on, amen, don't worry, you won't be there long. If you don't enjoy, amen, the car you're driving, don't worry, it won't be long, you'll find another one. Amen. If you don't enjoy the house you're living in, don't worry, before long, amen, you'll find, amen. See, you're always looking for something. Amen. If there's no joy there, then there's going to be no drive. There's going to be no zeal. There's going to be no passion. Amen. And I think tonight, church, amen, that it's a good time. I think it's high time, amen, to get the joy back in the house of God. Amen. I think it's time that we get joy back in our song services. I think it's time we get joy, amen, back in our prayers. I think it's time we get joy back in our song specials. Amen. Amen. I think it's time we get joy back in our preaching. I think it's time we get joy back in our worship. Don't you? Amen. I think it's time, amen, if anybody ought to have joy, it ought to be the sons and daughters of God. If anybody ought to be rejoicing, it ought to be the sons and daughters that was born in sin, shaping iniquity, come in this world speaking lies. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, amen, look beyond our faults. He looked beyond our failures. He looked beyond all of our mistakes and quickened a seed in there. Amen. I tell you what, I believe we can have fun in the house of God. Amen. Our young people wants to have fun. Amen. Our teenagers want to have fun. Can I tell you what? You can have fun in the house of God. I don't know a greater thing. Amen. I don't know a greater place to receive pleasure, amen, than in the house of Almighty God. I remember a few years ago, we was down there at the Louisiana Youth Camp, and we was having the prayer line there on Saturday night, and I was standing here, and Brother Timothy Pruitt, amen, Timothy Jr. there was on the other side, and I mean, people was coming through, Brother Doug, and he was getting the Holy Ghost, and demons were being cast out. I mean, people just slain in the spirit, amen, dancing and rejoicing and having a wonderful time, and I just kind of looked there, and I thought, my, amen, I wonder if anybody else is seeing this, and I looked across the prayer line at Brother Timothy, and he was standing over there, and he had a big old smile on his face, amen, and he just kind of leaned back, and he looked at me, and he said, I'm having fun. Hey, amen. I thought, ain't that something? Amen. Right here in a prayer line. Amen. Having fun. You say, Brother Andrew, you got to be careful. You're taking the sincerity out of it. Oh, no, I'm not. Amen. My Bible said that the reason why, amen, that people was in that condition is because joy, amen, had withered away from the sons of God. Amen. But my same Bible said, I will restore. Amen. Saith the Lord. I tell you what, tonight, friends, amen, living for Christ is fun. And I think if living for Christ is fun, I think he is worth living for. I think he is worth believing in. I think he is worth testifying of. Amen. As a matter of fact, I am so satisfied and so convinced that he's worth dying for. Amen. There's no greater life, amen, to live than to live a life, amen, for Jesus Christ. Amen. With joy. Amen. With pleasure. With gladness. With singing. With smiles on our face. My, the prophet said, I wonder today when I think of this mad, stricken, pleasure-crazed nation that we're in, why do we turn to drinking and gambling and smoking and carrying on the way we do to find pleasure? Is it because there's no pleasure in the house of God? He said, is that because there's no joy in serving the Lord that we have to hush that precious desire in our heart with the things of the world? He said, I wonder what will happen when God requires us at that day of judgment and ask us, why did we go to such things as that for pleasure? When the Christian's pleasure is in the Lord. Hey, amen. The Christian's pleasure is in the Lord. He has got joy unspeakable and full of glory for his believers. Why does the world long after the things like that? He said, to try to satisfy their longings with the things of the world when the joys of the Lord is for the people of God. He said, old-fashioned prayer meetings, amen, is the joys of the Lord. I like this one. He said, and the spirit upon the church is the joys of the Lord. I was a sinner. I did everything I was big enough to do in the world. Lots of things I tried, I wasn't big enough to do. But I want to say this, that all of it put together never give the satisfaction like one moment in the presence of the Lord God. It's all bogus and fanatics. He said it only speaks those momentarily pleasures, only speaks that there is a real consoling comfort, amen, lasting pleasure in the Lord. And why would the church of the living God have to resort to such things as that? amen, to find pleasure. I love this. Our pleasure is serving the Lord. Amen. How many will agree tonight? My pleasure is serving the Lord. Amen. I tell you this, I don't think it's a burden to come to church. Amen. I don't think it's a burden to preach this message. I don't think it's a burden to sing. I don't think it's a burden when the Spirit begins to move in the church. Amen. To raise our hands and to begin to worship God. I don't think it's a burden. As a matter of fact, Brother Joel, I think it is a pleasure. And you know why I think it's a pleasure? It's because I was born, amen, to worship God. I was born to praise His name. Brother Doug, amen, if I don't praise Him, then a rock is going to cry out. And I've come to this consolation. There ain't no rock going to take my place. As long as I've got breath in my lungs and strength in my body, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to exalt God. I'm going to have joy in my salvation. I'm going to have joy in the presence of God. Amen. Let me say it this way. Moses found pleasure in serving the Lord. The prophet said that he chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now you say, what is serving the Lord? Amen. Serving the Lord is exalting the Lord. Amen. In Hebrews 11:26, it says, esteem and the reproach of Christ. Amen. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now the prophet of God clearly shows us how important it is, amen, to lift up the word, or to exalt the word, or to have exaltation. Yeah. He says what we try to do in these campaigns is exalt Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here, not to offend anyone. Amen. But we try to exalt Jesus Christ, for that's what we're here for. Now, Jesus said this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What he's saying here is if somebody will begin to rejoice, and if somebody will begin to serve, and if somebody will begin to praise. Amen. Then he said, if I will be lifted up. Amen. How many knows what praise is? Amen. Praise is not lifting the preacher. Amen. Worship is not lifting the preacher. Amen. But praise and worship is the exalting of Jesus Christ. And he said, if I will be praised, if I will be worshiped, if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. Notice this. May there be, he says, now you may be a prosperous man as far as your business is concerned, but we're not trying to introduce something to make your business better or make this better. We're trying to introduce something that'll make you better. Amen. That's why we're here tonight. It's not to grow your business. It's not to grow your company. Amen. But to make you better. He said, see, and the only thing that can do that is Christ. He said the church long lost its program when it tried to compare with the world. He said with education and with frolic and with entertainment, he said, we'll never compare with them, for the children of night is smarter than the children of day. He said they are wiser. Amen. Now know this. Amen. To know his book does not give you joy. Amen. To know his book does not give you pleasure. Amen. To know his book does not give you, amen, real longing, satisfying satisfaction. Amen. But to know him, amen, is life. Amen. To know him is joy. To know him is peace. Are you with me now? Amen. To know him, amen, is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now in Matthew the 17th chapter, Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come. And notice what he's going to do. He's going to restore all things. Amen. Elias is going to come and he's going to restore all things. Now look at what this word restore means. It means to restore to its former state. It means to be in its former state. Amen. So when he comes, he's going to restore. Now how many will agree that the Son of Man comes in the forthcoming of Elijah, the Spirit, amen, to perform the ministry of restoration. Amen. To restore all things. Amen. He's not restoring half things or partial things, but he's going to restore all things. Amen. Now watch this. I believe that the message of the hour has restored our doctrines. I believe the message of the hour has restored water baptism. I believe it is restored, amen, the way we conduct our services. I think it is restored. I believe it is restored the way we have communion and the way we go about foot washing and the way we go about, are you hearing me? Amen. The message of the hour has come to restore all things. Amen. But let me say this. What good is a message, amen, that can restore our doctrines and can restore our teachings, but it cannot restore our joy? I'll tell say it tonight, friends, this message has done more than restore our doctrines. It has done more than restore our teachings. It has done more than restore, amen, the way we do things. This message has restored joy in the house of God. This message has restored joy. Come on, church. Amen. How many will agree with me that you didn't know what joy was till you got in this message? You didn't know what worship was till you got in this message. See what it was? It was the ministry of restoration, restoring all things. Now the prophet said, we see that the seventh eighth messenger coming. He is a prophet. Not only do we see the messenger coming, he said, but we find the word speaks of Elijah in Matthew 17:10. Before the coming of our Lord, Elijah must come back for a work. Somebody shout a work. A work of restoration in the church. Before Jesus comes, Elijah must come for a work of restoration in the church. Now I love this. He says it this way, in the ministry of John, the hearts of the fathers were turned to the children. We know that because Jesus said so. But it does not say that the hearts of the children were turned to the fathers. That is yet to take place. He said the hearts of the last day children will be turned back. Somebody say turn back. Will be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers. John got the fathers ready. Amen. For Jesus to welcome the children into the fold. But now this prophet, amen, upon whom the spirit of Elijah falls, will prepare the children, amen, to welcome back Jesus. Amen. Notice here, John is going to prepare the fathers, amen, to receive the children into the fold. Amen. But this forthcoming of Elijah is going to prepare, amen, the children to receive the father. Or can I say it like this? It's going to prepare the bride to receive the husband. Amen. It's going to prepare the wife to receive the husband. Are you hearing me? Amen. What are you talking about? I'm saying this. Amen. There's no man in here that is married, amen, that goes home after a hard day's work, after labor, amen, and goes in the house, amen, but what he won't testify that seeing his wife, amen, actually brings a joy upon his heart, amen. But now watch this, amen, but she has done some preparing, amen, she has done some planning. Why? Because she's wanting to give him, amen, a fit reception when he comes in the house. And I think tonight, friends, amen, as the prophet of God said, he is descending from glory into the church. And I think it's time, amen, that we make sure, amen, that we have prepared our hearts, that we have prepared our churches, that we have prepared our families, amen, to give the Messiah, amen, a fit reception when he comes in the church. You say, Brother Andrew, how do you give him a welcome? How do you give him a reception? If I be lifted up, if I be praised, if I be worshipped, amen. You may think I'm Pentecostal and I get done tonight, but I really don't care because you won't be the first one. Amen. I don't see, amen, nowhere from 47 to 65 where the prophet laid aside, amen, shouting in the church. I don't see anywhere that he laid aside dancing. As a matter of fact, he said David restored, amen, or David danced at the restoration of the ark. He said, and here today, amen, if you got victory, he said a sign of victory, amen, is when one begins to dance. Now, you have to take that up with him. So in other words, the prophet didn't just restore our doctrines. He didn't restore, amen, just our teachings, but he restored our joy. Amen. The message restored shouting. Are you hearing me? Amen. For the first time, the message gave us a reason to shout. Are you hearing me? Amen. Now don't get mad at me. Isn't this something? Amen. All these years, people's been dancing in church. Amen. But they didn't know what they was dancing about. They've been Jericho marching, Brother Doug, but they didn't know what they were Jericho marching about. Amen. They've been shouting and spontaneous praise. But sister, they didn't know why they was doing it. Amen. But in the evening time, amen, there shall be a day which shall be known unto the Lord. In that evening time, it shall be light. And for the first time in 2,000 years, there is a people that has got a purpose to shout. They got a purpose to praise. They got a purpose to dance. Listen, friends, isn't it something? At the hour when the true shout and the true dance has been restored to the church, is the very hour the devil's trying to take it away. Kind of like for the first time, there's some preachers got something to say and the devil tells them not to preach. Are you hearing me? Amen. See, but the devil knows there's a reason why this is happening. It's because the heritage of the Lord has been restored. Amen. Somebody shout, the heritage of the Lord has has been restored. Now the prophet said the heritage of the Lord, amen, or is considered or likened, amen, to a vine or a tree. The heritage of the Lord is considered or likened to a vine or a tree. Now in John 15 verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye cannot do nothing. Amen. See, then without Christ we cannot rejoice. Without Christ we cannot have a real purpose of our worship. Without Christ, amen, all of our labor is in vain if Christ is not in the center of it. Amen. But watch this. The book of Joel, the prophet here, he said the heritage of the Lord has always been considered, amen, a vine or a tree. Now, I believe it was called that in the Old Testament. He said, then we find again Jesus referring to it in the New Testament. And over in the book of Revelation, we find it again as a vine or as a tree. Now, watch this. Amen. The tree, amen, of life was a person. And that person was the Lord Jesus Christ, none other. He said, symbolic of persons. Now, notice here, there was a tree that would be planted. Oh, help me, Lord. There was the tree that would be planted. It would be, amen, what the prophet would call the bridegroom tree, or the tree that they tried to cut down. He said, but they could not cut it down, amen, because it was a predestinated tree. But notice when he comes here and begins to preach, he doesn't call it the restoration of the bridegroom tree. He calls it the restoration of the bride tree. Amen. Why? Because a prophet actually looks in the past, maybe this way, looks in the past, he looks in the present, and then he looks in the future. Amen. So a prophet can actually, in one gift, a prophet can bring the past, amen, the present, and the future into one dimension. Okay. Are you hearing me? You say, what are you talking about? Okay, take the girl, amen, who had a fear and who had a nervousness, and the prophet standing in the present said, I see you're suffering with this, but let's trace it back. So he went back to the past, and he said, I see you get off of a bus, I believe it was, and a dog chased you home, and I see what color dress you got on. See, he left the present and went and got the past, and he brought the past to the present, and he said, and now you're suffering with this nervousness. He said, but I also see, hey, oh God, I also see that you're going to be well. Watch. Amen. There come the past into the present, and it, oh my, into the future. Are you hearing me tonight, church? Amen. Don't you see why we got something to shout about? Amen. Because the prophet could say, I'm going back in the past. I see you as a sinner. I see you dead in the trespasses of sin. Amen. But right here tonight, I see an atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ that is flowing from Calvary, that is falling upon the heart of repentant sinners. And I see you, amen, as the sinless, oh, spotless bride of Jesus Christ. What was he doing? He was going from the past into the present and saying, but listen, church, you got a future. Brother, hey, somebody put your joy shoes on. We got a future. Amen, amen. Somebody, amen. Somebody put your hallelujah hand claps on. We got a future. Well, Brother Andrew, I got a past. I know you got a past. Amen. But you also got a present. Amen. But better than that, you got a future. You say, how do you know I got a future? Amen. Because a prophet went in your future and come back and said, I saw you there. Amen. I saw you there as the justified, amen, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. The devil's tried to cut this bride tree down, but he'll never cut her down. She is already under prophecy. Brother, that's a good place to praise God. Brother Doug, he's been in your future. Hey, amen, brother, he's been in your future. Are you hearing me tonight, church? Brother, he's been in your future. Amen, he's done seen your spot at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you here? Amen. Why do we got a tape called The Future Home? Because the prophet went there and he saw the future, and he come back to the present and said, forget your past. Let the past be the past. Amen. Onward, Christian soldiers. Let's march. Amen. Let's praise. Amen. Let's worship. Let's fight our way into the future, bride. Yes, sir. Amen, Joel. I love this. Joel, Brother Bam says, God, amen, put binocular eyes, amen, on Joel. He put binoculars on Joel's face. And Brother Bam said, Joel was able to look down to the stream of time. Are you hearing me? Amen. Joel was able to stand there and see the pomegranate tree and the apple tree, amen, and the fig tree and all those trees. Brother, he was able to see him languished. He was able to see him withered away. He was able to see him dried up. Amen. He saw, amen, them in the past when they were putting forth fruit. He saw them in the past when they were bringing forth apples and bringing forth fruit. Amen. But now, amen, they're withered away and they're languished and there's no fruit on them. Amen. But a prophet said, by prophetic binoculars, he looked in the future and said, but I will restore. Are you hearing me, church? Amen. Why didn't Job, amen, close up his Bible and say, I'm just going to quit? Why didn't Job throw up his hands and say, there's going to be no fruit upon these trees? Why didn't he do it? You know why? Because he was able, amen, to go in the future and see, amen, those trees that was dried up, amen, bearing fruit. Are you hearing me, church? Amen. Do you ever wonder why your pastor don't quit harping on certain things? Well, let's take the brakes off and preach, amen. Do you ever wonder why, amen, to you it's harping, but to him it's preaching? Do you ever wonder why that he keeps going over the same thing? Do you ever wonder why he keeps saying, let's fight the battle? Come on, church, let's keep on going. Do you ever wonder why? It's because of a gift in his life. He's able to go in the future, and you can't see it, amen, but by a ministering gift, he can see you on the other side of your trial. He can see you on the other side of the desert. He can see you on the other side of the drought. He can see you on the other side of the drought. And when he sees you over there, amen, in symbol, he comes back and says, listen, church, a symbol must become a reality. And nobody is going to become your victory except you. Come on, church. I'm not preaching tonight, amen, to work you up. I'm preaching to tell you, you've lost your joy, but it's time to get it back. You've lost your praise, but it's time to get it back. How can you say that? Because I've read, amen, the back of the book, and the back of the book says, I will restore. I will restore that family. I will restore that marriage. I will restore that teenager. I will restore, amen, that bright tree. I will restore, saith the Lord. Oh, mercy. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this is the hour of restoration. Somebody shout this. Oh, come on, help me. This is the hour of restoration. I know y'all do better than that. Your pastor's a cheerleading preacher. We got spirit. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Are you hearing me? This is the hour of restoration. This is the time. This is the season. This is the atmosphere. This is the day. This is the hour when joy is coming back to the church. When Holy Ghost power is coming back to the church. When signs and wonders and mighty miracles and manifestations are coming back. This is the hour that what the devil's cut down, he thought he killed it. He thought it was done, Brother Dutch. Amen. But he heard this, but there was a seed in the bottom. Woo, brother. God, somebody shout, God is restoring the bride tree. Do you realize we didn't know there was a bride tree until David come in Psalms, the first chapter, and said, and he shall be like a tree planted, not just thrown out, but placed. Planted. Are you hearing me? By the rivers of not waters, but one water. And it bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall never wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are you hearing me, church? When David wrote this, Doug Baker wasn't even born. When David wrote this, Joe Howard wasn't even born. When David wrote this, Andrew Glover was not even born. Amen. But God's prophetic binoculars, amen, looked all the way down through time. And David said, come on, church. You realize what he had to look through, amen, to see this? He had to look through dark ages. He had to look through trees withering away. He had to look through all these things, but he could see through it. Are you hearing me? He kept on looking. Sometimes it got dark. Sometimes it got dismal. But all of a sudden, I believe he saw that Eden and light prophecy. I believe he saw that evening light prophecy and he could write this. And the prophet said, God is speaking of his fruit tree that he had planted. God planted a fruit tree and he brought that tree there for a purpose. Let me say this. Every man, you're here for a purpose. Every woman, you are here for a purpose. Every young boy, you are here for a purpose. Every young lady, you are here for a purpose. Every preacher, you are here for a purpose. Every deacon, you are here for a purpose. Why are you saying that? Because if the devil can ever get you to lose sight of your purpose, then when the cold winters come, when the cold breezes come, then you'll lay down and you'll never press to get through it. But if you get a vision of your purpose, if you get a vision of why you're here upon the earth, then the darkest of winters and the coldest of ages and the coldest of times, amen, can never kill, amen, the purpose of a son or daughter of God. He wanted it to bear his fruit, so he wanted a church that would keep his word. In other words, he says he will be like a man in the scriptures that believes all God's word, where the power and the 9 spiritual gifts can flow through one God into his innermost being. People don't believe in shouting. He says the thing of it is they haven't got spiritual joy. He said the joys of water of life can't flow through. That's the whole lot of matter with the Branham Tabernacle, because that unbelief and the cares of the world has bound the people until it cannot produce spiritual growth. That's what's the matter with our nation. That's the matter with our churches. They have no joy, and the joy of the Lord has departed. As was written one time in the scripture, the Hebrew word Ichabod, which means the presence of the Lord has departed. Notice the connection here. The Bible says there will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother Bram takes this and says the lack of joy, the deficit of joy is coming from Ichabod, which means the glory or the presence of the Lord has departed from the place. That's over our churches, because they left the original foundation and placed ourselves into creeds and denominations and permitted the things of the world to dry up our experience with God. Are you hearing me? And he goes to Arizona. That's now that's the next quote. Now, I don't want to read to you and put you to sleep. Amen. But can I tell you this? He goes to Arizona and says, that's why all them cactuses out there are so dry. He said, are you hearing me? He said, that's why they're so sticky and prickly. He said, you know why? It's because they're lacking water. And what does water represent? Amen. Water represents the word. It represents Jesus Christ. They're lacking moisture. He said it like this. But what happened? He said, 4 death messengers eat the fruit of the tree down. He said, but 4 life messengers are going to restore, amen, what death ate away. Now in the restoration of the bride tree, very beautiful section here. He says this little palm worm come around to take off the fruits. He said, I have 2 pages of fruits. I like this one. He eat off the fruit of joy. Think about that. Now that's another fruit he eat off, the joy of salvation. He says, shh, you people make too much noise. Oh my. He said, oh, how can you preach, Brother Branham? A woman said to me one time, it wasn't a woman, it's a man, and I hope he's here. He belongs to another church. But he said to me, I was up to hear you the other day and couldn't even hear you for them people crying. How in the world can you preach? I said, if them people didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be preaching there. Hey. Amen. He said, if them people didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be preaching there. He said, a friend of mine, Jim Poole, and I used to have an old dog, and we'd call him Fritz. He said he would tree a skunk. And he said, we'd sit there and go, sick him, boy. Amen, sick him, boy. He said, and the worst stinker I know of is the devil. So when I'm bringing the word out, and somebody says, amen, that's the same as sick him, boy. Well, he got him treed. Amen, we'll get him treed. Are you hearing me, church? Amen, your amens are not just preacher work. Your amens are not just filler words, amen, to cancel the silence of the room. Your amens, amen, are actually praises, is actually power, is actually sick 'em, boy. Sick 'em, boy. Amen. Go in there and let's tree that devil. And when we tree him, let's not just tree him and leave him, but let's tear him down. Let's tear him apart and let joy, let power, let victory, let anointing, let authority, let every blessing God has come in the church. we find out that took away the joy. You know, David one time lost the joy of his salvation. He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of it. He just cried, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He said that palm worm began to eat the fruit of joy. Now looky here, you people make too much noise. All this crying, this sin, amen, and this shouting, that's nonsense. There's nothing to that. See, first thing you know, he said in a big morgue, said all them out there dead. Some of these embalming fluids of so-called doctrines of creeds pumped in their veins where the Spirit of God ought to be running, where the old church creed pumped in there. No wonder they're icy cold and dead. He said spiritual thermometer 90 below zero. Yeah, somebody say amen. Everybody stretch their necks around. Brother, don't hear no amens, but you should hear them old stiff necks creaking, don't you? Amen. Turning around and look around. Amen. See what's going on. He said, "Want to know what? It's a shame when the Spirit of God ought to be joy, ought to be peace and love." He said, "But this little old bug started eating, and he eat all the joy away. He eat all the joy away." Joel said, "The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, and the pomegranate tree, and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered." Why? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. But then Joel comes and says, "I will restore to you." Look at this word restore. It means to be in a covenant of peace. It means to be at peace. It means to be complete. It means to be sound. It means to be finished. It means to be ended. It means to be uninjured. Help me, Jesus. It means to be uninjured. Are you catching it? Amen. The palmer worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar, amen, all those worms, the locust, all those worms injured the tree. Amen. Eat it down. Amen. Doctrines injured it. Amen. Preachers injured it. Amen. Amen. Churches, all these things injured it. But in the evening time, he promised, amen, that I will send a message that will restore, that will heal, that will deliver, that will take away all the cuts. Are you hearing me, church? Amen. I know some of you all here tonight are just like me, and we've been through things. We've been through troubles. We've been through hurts. We've been through letdowns. We've been through disappointments. But you know what the beautiful thing about it is? Amen. That when God restores something, he can take you, amen, from being hurt to being healed. He can take you from being broken to being complete. I say tonight, church, my Bible says this: "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. Well, you say, "Brother Andrew, I check my gauge before I come to church, and I got a half a tank of joy." You know what? You need full. Are you hearing me? "Well, Brother Andrew, I'm doing pretty good. I'm down to about empty, but I'm getting by." No, you need to be full. Amen. I'm telling you, church, what we need is joy. If we don't get joy, if we don't get our joy back, it won't be long, and we'll be trying to find things of the world to satisfy, amen, the thirst in our souls for the desire, amen, for pleasure. Now, this is what I love. Something's got to be done to make your joy full. Are you hearing me? Something's got to be done to make your joy full. That's why the Bible says that which was from the beginning, 1 John 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. Somebody say, "The life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you." Yeah. That our hands, amen, that was manifest in us and show unto you, amen, which the Father was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard. Seen, heard, declare we unto you. See, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now notice here, "And these things we write unto you." Now think about that. Amen. Here is John, who can go all the way back to Genesis, and he can write, amen, about Abraham and Sarah. He can write about Moses. He can write about Rahab. He can write about Joshua. He can speak of all these things all the way back from the beginning. Amen. Now, why would he do that? Why would he write about these things? I love it. "That your joy may be full." See, if you want gas, you got to go to the station and get it. Amen. If you want fuel, you got to go to the pump and get it. Amen. If you want groceries in your pantry, you got to go to the grocery store and you got to buy the groceries and you got to start. Are you hearing me? Amen. There's got to be a source. Amen. To give a fullness. There's got to be a source. Amen. To give a completion. There's got to be a source, Brother Doug. Amen. To give satisfaction. And I'll tell you tonight, friends. Amen. These things were done that you might have joy. Are you hearing about? Can I preach to you for a minute? Amen. Abraham and Sarah. Amen. Bodies were dead. But that was done. Amen. That a barren couple in this day could have joy and believe God was going to give them a son. Are you hearing me? Amen. Rahab. I ain't got time to preach all of them. Amen. But Rahab put a scarlet cord down and she found two spies. Amen. And they delivered a message of a token to her. You know why? Amen. That was done to show you. Amen. To give you joy. That if you'll put this token over your family, if you'll put this token over your house and get everything under that token. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying in the time of delay, in the time of waiting, that's not the time of sorrow. That's the time that our joy is full. Are you hearing me? Amen. Amen. Squirrels were spoken to existence that you might have joy. Hattie Wright's two boys, amen, was given back to her that you might have joy. Are you hearing me? Georgia Carter raised up off of a bed that you might have joy. Congressman Upshaw. Come on, church. These are things we've seen. These are things we've heard. Come on. These are things that have been declared unto us that our joy might be full. What are you saying? I'm saying if God did those things, amen, to give joy there, then I believe God is doing some things here today. I don't believe cancers are falling off of bodies by coincidence. I don't believe blind eyes are being restored by coincidence. I don't believe broken homes are coming back together by coincidence. I believe these things are being done that our joy, somebody shout our joy, our joy, our joy may be full. The word was manifested that our joy would be full. Then John goes on in 2 John 1:12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy. Now, can I take some liberty here? That our joy may be full. You realize tonight, amen, that John is not here in a corporal body. But my Bible says that men of old were moved of by the Holy Ghost and they wrote the scriptures. Amen. Listen, church, the same Holy Ghost that fell upon John, amen, to write what he wrote to give you joy is the same Holy Ghost that comes behind this pulpit, amen, three times a week, amen, to take what has been written and open it by divine interpretation and put a joy in the church. Now I'm just going to take the brakes off and preach here for a minute. Amen. Because I think it's time that we quit being ashamed when we got joy. Is it okay to preach on the floor? Amen. Amen. We don't want to get in trouble, but we want to preach here for a second. Amen. I think it's a shame we got people that's got to feel intimidated when they say amen in the house of God. You know what else I think? I think it's a shame when we got people that want to worship God so bad, but they're so bound by some old spirit. Amen. But you know what my Bible says? When God performs a restoration, my people... When God does the work of restoration, my people shall never be ashamed. When God puts fruit back on the pomegranate tree, when God puts healing in the heart, when God puts salvation in the souls, when God brings home wayward sons and daughters, my people shall never be ashamed. We got joy. Listen, church, if there's ever been a time to be unashamed, it's right now. If there's ever been a time to let our hair down and kick our shoes off and have good old-fashioned Holy Ghost meetings, it's now. We are not here as a partial church with a partial message, with a partial seed. We are the fully restored Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, Malachi 4 led bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think it's strange, church, that one of the final messages William Branham preached was ashamed. After the message of restoration has come, one of his final sermons is ashamed of him. To tell you, don't ever be ashamed. Are you hearing me? Don't ever be ashamed. Brother Eli, don't ever be ashamed to be who you are. I wish I could pack that guy up and take him to about 20 dead churches I preached in and let him get up there and raise the temperature. You know why? Because I don't hear some formal prayer. I don't hear some rehearsed, amen, dried up, withered away prayer. I hear a prayer, amen, from a heart of joy. I hear a prayer. Well, can I preach a while? Amen. I wish I could take, amen, some people. Amen. I'm here. Might as well go ahead and get into it. Amen. I preach in them all the time. Amen. Churches don't want no amens. Don't want no hallelujahs. Brother Andrew, we're beyond that. Amen. But I say this. My Bible says I should not be ashamed when I hear the word. I should not be ashamed of the word when the word speaks to my heart. Brother Joel, I refuse to be ashamed of the Spirit of God. I refuse to be ashamed of the power of God. I refuse to be ashamed of the supernatural. I refuse to be ashamed of signs and wonders. I refuse to be ashamed of prodigal sons coming back home. I refuse to be the elder brother. It's the hour of restoration. It's the hour of restoration. If you got an ashamed demon on you tonight, I curse that thing in the name of Jesus Christ. I say turn loose of every son and daughter of God and let a power, let a pleasure, let a joy come back. Oh, go ahead and give him some praise. Yeah, go ahead and give him some praise. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about Almighty God that has said, I will restore. What's wrong with them, Brother Doug? They've been restored. What's wrong with you, brother? I've been restored. I got joy. I got power. I got victory. I got peace. I got my right mind. I've got a message. I got a future home. I got a body changer coming. I've been planted. I've been placed. I've been ordained by the Spirit of God. There's some people here that's not ashamed. Are you hearing me? There's some people here that knows what it's like to be in a famine. You know what it's like to be in a drought and then God sends some rain. Come on, church. You mean to tell me somebody been without water for 20 years and water shows up, they're going to be ashamed of the water? Come on, you mean somebody been without food for all those years and food show up and somebody be ashamed of it? I think not. I think we're going to enjoy it. I think we're going to drink it. I think we're going to eat it. I think my people are never going to be ashamed. You say, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? I'll tell you this. I was in a church not long ago. I was preaching away and the power of God. Well, I said power of God. Power of God's in the word. So when you preach the word, it brings the power of God in the church regardless of the condition of the church. Regardless of who wants to sit at you and look at you like a mule staring at a new gate. It doesn't change the power that's in the word. Are you hearing me? Amen. You just keep on preaching. I was talking to Homer Longoria one time, Brother Doug. He said, you know what? He said, sometimes God gives you a sermon. He said, you just got to go in there and you got to close your eyes and preach it. He said, you got to close your eyes and you just got to preach it. He said, because some may be frowning at you. Some may be sleeping on you. He said, some may not even like you. He said, but you just got to close your eyes and preach it. I said, Brother Homer, how do you do that? He said, because I know if I just keep on preaching, I'm going to get through it. Are you hearing me? You say, Brother Andrew, that's for the preacher. Sometimes I think we need to come in the house of God and just close our eyes and just praise God. Well, so-and-so will say, forget about so-and-so. Well, so-and-so will make fun of me. Forget about so-and-so. Listen, church, this is the hour of restoration. This is the time when the seventh seal book has come open to release an authority in the church in these last days. I was preaching that church, Brother Doug, and it was dead quiet. I almost paid for an amen. But there was one brother with me. Man, he was shouting and he was hollering amen. He was having a good time. And I was watching people. They was looking over at him. They every time he'd stand up and say amen. You know what I finally said? Don't mind him. He's just enjoying himself. Don't worry. See, what happens is you got to quit worrying. And you just got to enjoy the Spirit of God. You see, the only place joy is in the presence of God. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they left the presence of God. And after they left the presence of God, is the first time we hear sorrow. Is the first time we hear sickness. Is the first time we hear of death. Is the first time we hear of famine. Is the first time we hear of a drought. Is when Adam and Eve left the presence of God. Are you hearing me, church? They left the presence of God. And when they left the presence of God, they lost the joy. You know what happens, church, is sometime or another, we've got to get out of our spirit and get in the Spirit. We got to get out of our spirit and get in this spirit. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. If we are going to live as Christians, we are going to have to live in his spirit. Amen. Being in his spirit actually does more than just cause you to shout. It does more than cause you to get emotional. Actually, in his spirit is where understanding comes. Are you hearing me? Now you say, well, Brother Andrew, I want message on that. Okay, the prodigal God took two scriptures. He took Acts 2 and he took James 5. And he said, Acts 2 says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, a man out of the spirit will read that and will say, that's the truth. He said, but a man in the spirit will go be baptized and receive the spirit. So what happened? Out of the spirit, it was a dead letter. Out of the spirit, it was a scripture. Out of the spirit, it was a promise. But in the spirit, it became a reality. It became a manifestation. Another one is James 5. He says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders and let him come anoint him with oil. He said, anybody reads that? They say, okay. He said, oh, but if they saw it by getting in the spirit, they would go from being hearers to being doers. He said, they wouldn't go through the acts. They would get in the spirit first and then go through the acts and then watch what God will do. So he's showing you, if you want to enjoy your Bible, you got to get in the spirit. If you want to enjoy the word, you got to get in the spirit. Amen. Let me say this. If you want to enjoy this message, you got to get in the spirit. Amen. There's joy in serving God. There's joy in Bible reading. There's joy in tape listening. There's joy in family prayer time. There's joy in those things. But you got to get in the spirit. Now, you said, Brother Andrew, we can have joy in the world. The promise that our spirits is clean, is fresh, it's real, it's sober and serious, but nonetheless, full of the joy of the Lord. Well, Brother Andrew, I can't have joy because I got to be deep and I got to be sober. No, you ain't got to be boring to be spiritual. Well, it's the truth, ain't it? People say, well, Brother Andrew, I'll tell you one thing. A guy actually told me one time of the day. He said, when you get around a little bit longer and quit just reading all them quotes and shouting and carrying on, he said, you start digging in the message, you'll get a little solid about you. And he said, you'll quit all that running and jumping around. The more I found the message, the more it caused me to run and jump. The more I read a prophet, the more joy. Are you hearing me? See, because you got to get in the spirit. He said, then the Christian ought to be just as exuberant and full of his pleasure in the Lord as the world is when it savors in its delights and pleasures. He said, see, people who get in the spirit of things are often called holy rollers. Amen. Now he preaches a message called Why. Yes. I am a holy roller. Would you like to know why I'm a holy roller? He says, I'll try to tell you from the word of the Lord. I've done a lot of traveling. I've seen many denominational churches, but you know, I've never seen a holy roller yet. I really don't know where they're at. I looked all over the church list and the statistics and everything. Looked all over the statistics and couldn't find a holy roller, but found 95% of the church without the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Ooh, preach, Brother Andrew. Thank you. I believe I will. Oh, you better be careful, Brother Andrew. He said right here, I've looked everywhere trying to find a holy roller, and I can't find one. But he did find 95% of the church with salvation, but without the joy of their salvation. He said, I can't find where there's a church called Holy Rollers. But you know what it is? It's just the name. It's just the name the devil pinned on the church. That's all. See, so we're afraid of being called holy rollers when all it is a name the devil pinned on a church. So let me just go ahead and give you a disclaimer. I am a holy roller. Brother Doug, you are a holy roller. Sister Jennifer, you're a holy roller. Brother John, you're a holy roller. Are you hearing me? Brother Isaac, you know what you are? You're a holy roller. You say, what do you mean? I am a Holy Ghost-filled son of God, and my name is on the roll of heaven, and I'm rolling into glory, and I've got joy about it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud of it. It's the pleasure. It's the thrill. It's the zeal. It's the exuberance. It's the passion that is in my heart tonight to be identified. Brother Hoyer, let me cut the chase and say it. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Extra, extra. Read all about it. I'm one of them. I'm one of them Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, message believers that knows Jesus Christ is here and he's restored and he's moving in his church. Not ashamed of it. I'm one of them. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying the prodigal God preaches why I'm a holy roller. You know what text he takes? Jude 1. The faith that was once delivered to the saints, earnestly contend for it. Isn't it something, brother? He didn't say get away from it. He said contend for it. Contend for it. Are you hearing me? Amen. So the faith that was delivered to the saints, you know what it done? It caused them to be considered drunks. It caused them to be considered heretics. It caused them to be considered fanatics. It caused them to be considered holy rollers. But they were so, amen, sure of that faith. And God, oh, help me, Lord. I'm catching a second wind. I got to start wrapping this thing up. Are you hearing me, church? God was so, amen, strong about that faith that he wants that faith. That's the faith that was in the beginning, but down to those ages of worms. Down to those ages, amen, of traditions and dogmas and creeds, that faith, that's one of the fruits, was eat away from that tree until it was down to a nub. But the prophet of God says, but then I will restore the faith. So the faith that's being restored is the faith that causes believers to be considered heretics, to be considered holy rollers, to be considered fanatics. Amen. But in the face of all of that, I am not ashamed that the floors are full of wheat and the vats are full of oil and there's wine. What is wine, brother? It's the stimulation. Amen. Of a revelation. Are you hearing me? Amen. I'm not ashamed in that church because I know, amen, that I've been without it. But what is it to be with it? Are you hearing me? Amen. You've been without it. Amen. Then when you've been without it, brother, it gives you an appreciation for when you got it. You won't be ashamed of it. You'll worship it. You'll exalt it. Why? Because you know what it's like to be out of it. What are you saying? I'm saying in his presence is joy. The Bible says is the fullness of joy. Out of his presence is no joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Okay. out of his presence is the emptiness of joy. Now, I don't know if you can give me Psalms, the 80th chapter and the 8th verse, but I'm gonna show you something here. We were born out of his presence. We was born in sin, shaping iniquity, come in the world speaking lies. Sin cannot dwell in the presence of a righteous God. Iniquity cannot dwell in the presence of a righteous God. So you were a vine. You was the heritage of the Lord. In Psalms 80 chapter and the 8th verse, Brother Bram uses this for a message called planting the vine, and we're to plant it. He says, now thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted. Now, when Brother Bram preaches this, he's just returning home from some meetings in Ohio. And he's now this is amazing, Brother Doug. He says, when I come home, he said, I begin to realize the most gotten after thing I was gotten for preaching over there, because I preached that I believe a man was called to salvation before the foundation of the world. He said this. He said, I believe what the devil does is a myth, and what God does is real. He said, therefore, when God saves a man, he is saved. Period. Exclamation mark. No question. No, are you? It's a prophet's words right here. He says, when God saves a man, he's saved. So that's why he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, God wants a people he can dwell in and show his glory. Now, do you realize what Israel was? Israel was a vine. They was a vine. He said they was a good vine. He said, but a good vine must be in a good ground to bring forth good fruit. And he said, the problem today is we got a lot of good people planted in the wrong place. But now watch this. He said, a good, healthy vine doesn't even have to be sprayed. Healthy enough to throw all of his enemies off. So watch this. He said, so God likened you to a vine. He said, now here it is. Israel was a vine, but they was planted in the wrong place. So he brought Israel out of Egypt, and he cast out the heathen, which is the unbeliever, and then planted them in a good place. And the prophet said this. He said, see, spiritually healthy. Amen. A spiritual ground where there is spiritual joy. I'm closing right here. He says it like this. He said, see, amen, a vine not bringing forth worm-eaten, denominational, naughty, dried up fruits. He said, no, sir. He said, they don't have no joy, and they just sprinkle now and then a little bit of revival to hold on. He said, but when that water comes, that water represents life. And when that water begins to connect with that vine, he said, if it's planted in the right place, it's going to bring forth fruit. What are you saying, Lander? I'm saying this. Amen. We have been out of the presence of God for years. We was out of the presence of God. Amen. Through creeds, through dogmas, through denominations, we was a vine, but we was not where we were supposed to be. But God, in the last days, sent Elijah, amen, to snatch up the vine. Are you hearing me? And you're a part of the vine. He sent a messenger, amen, to snatch up the vine and to bring the vine out of Egypt, out of a place that don't belong, and plant it and put it by the rivers of one water, where the joy can flow through it, where peace can flow through it, where happiness can flow through it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We are the branches, and he is the vine. And the prophet said, now watch. He said, the vine has got to have a root. He said, then the root. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. You're going to have to back off, Lord. You're going to hurt me. It's coming so fast. He said, watch. You got to trace it back. Root, vine, branches. Amen. Root, vine, branches. He said, now watch. He said, you see the branches, but where's the branches coming from? He said, the vine. He said, now where's the vine coming from? He said, the root. He said, now where is the root at? He said, the root is anchored around the throne of heaven. the root is anchored around the throne. Are you hearing me, church? Where is your root tonight? Your root is anchored in your future. Your root is anchored in the throne. Your root is anchored in the city. Oh, help me, Lord. Church, I hope you see what I'm saying tonight. I'm saying this. This is your time to shine. This is your time. This is the time when everything is dried up, when churches have dried up. Are you hearing me? Oh, help me, Lord. Churches have dried. Message churches have even dried up under an old intellectual spirit. Amen. But this is the time for the vine. Look at somebody and say, brother, it's vine time. Brother Doug, it's vine time. It's branch time. It's Holy Ghost time. It's worship time. You say, Brother Andrew, how can you rejoice? Because he sent a message to restore me. Amen. Back to where I should be planted by the rivers of one water, where there's joy, where there's love, where there's long suffering, where there's peace. Listen, friends, we're back in a choice place. This message has brought back the joy. Then what are you saying? I'm saying this. When you become, oh, I love this. When you become, as I tell you, mean something. When a man's really born again, the Spirit of God, he becomes acquainted, and a personality of God is in him. And he knows, there's that word again. He knows that he's going from the ridiculous to the sublime. And there's no fear to death. Death hasn't got a fear sting in it. Amen. A man, when he's in Christ, he's free from death and sin and sickness and sorrows and so forth. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying welcome back to the presence of God, where there's the fullness of joy, where there is no sin, where there is no condemnation, where there is no guilt. Are you hearing me? How long are you going to carry, amen, the guilt of what you've done? How long are you going to carry the condemnation of what you've been through when the blood is for you? He sent the blood. Come on, church. He sent the blood. Amen. To bring, amen, you out of spiritual Egypt, out of the world, into a choice place. Well, I got to read it to you because I've. Brother Andrew, what are you saying? I'm saying this. We're back. Somebody say, we're back. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we, the creation, are back in the presence of our Creator, which is Jesus Christ. God taking a humble sinner, cleansing him from by his blood, dropping that confession, that Clorox bleached blood of the Son of God, and putting his own life into that man by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then if we have the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, what's wrong with us? When Elijah dropped the robe of Elisha, he got a double portion. And Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Oh, mercy. Are you ready? And greater than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. He says, what's wrong with the church? Now, you've called us a Beelzebub of visions and things like that. Get off my back, brother. Get down to the cross. Get to the gospel. We don't have to impersonate. Why would you take an impersonation when the skies are full of genuine Pentecostal power that makes a man or a woman a son or daughter of God, that takes him back in the presence of God? Testing. You're back in the presence of God, where the fullness of joy is, where there is a true vine that has been planted by the rivers of one water, where the Spirit of God is flowing through the church. Come on, church. Heard the prophet say today, he said, every time my heart beats, he said, it pumps blood. He said, every time my heart pulses, it's pumping blood to the rest, the members of my body. And can I tell you tonight, church, there is a pulsation in the house of God. I hear it. It's going thump. Amen, thump. Amen, thump. What's it thumping? Amen, it's thumping out power and anointing and reality through the branches of the vine. We're here. Behold, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He said, I say this today, if you believe me to be God's servant, you are now living in the day of the restoration of the faith that was once delivered to the saints, living under the power of the latter rain of the Holy Ghost. Church that's raising up today. I will restore. And my people shall never be ashamed. Oh my. Where are we at, church? From glory unto glory unto glory. At the rising of the sun, the seed will go from glory unto glory unto glory. Until what, brother? Until it goes back to its original glory. Where the prophet said, and now it's ripe to bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. Brother Doug, I got you. Bring him back like he was. Amen. What did John do? He restored the fathers to receive the children. But what did Malachi 4 do? He restored the children to receive the father. Come on, church. Do you see it, church? We're here. Our father's here. Our father's here. Amen. He's back in the church. He said exactly like it was at the beginning. He has same ministry, the same Jesus. Somebody shout same. No, shout same. His same ministry, the same Jesus, the same power, the same Holy Ghost, the same one that come down on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today from glory unto glory to bring back to its original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the same signs. Amen. Somebody say it with me. Same signs. Same signs. Same wonders. Same baptism. Same kind of people. Acting the same way. With the same power. The same sensation. Just as flexible, another quote, as it can be. That's right. The new tree was alive and the old tree was dead. That's the reason they can't bend, because they're dead. They're dead. But there's a new birth coming on now. The latter rain's being poured in these last days. Amen. We got the same power with the same signs, with the same wonders, with the same Holy Ghost. Brother John with the same anointing. And a prophet says, and the same joy. Oh, extra, extra. Read all about it. There is a people in the land today with the same joy that the old trees long time ago has come back in a new generation. Brother Doug, I'm trying to behave myself. That's going to hit some of you all tomorrow at work about 12 o'clock, and you're going to scare everybody to death on the job. You're going to just let out a woo. Amen. You might even start jumping. They say, what are you jumping? The Bible says, amen, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Leap for joy. Oh, no wonder the prophet of God come down there and he saw that old burn over, right? Saw that old burn over. He said them trees were dead. He said the wind would blow and they would just bend back and forth. They would just moan and groan. The days of miracles is past. God don't do those things no more. The Holy Ghost ain't in the church. Signs and wonders are not for the church, they're for the apostles. Just back and forth. Just moaning and groaning. He said, but then all of a sudden, the same wind, oh help me Jesus, the same wind that caused some to moan was the same wind that caused others to rejoice. The same wind that caused some to be stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard-hearted and said, God, don't do it, was the same wind that hit that new generation. And they begin to say, there's a New Testament church. It's arising up. Where's it coming from, church? It's coming out of this bride. We are back in the presence of God. Won't you stand to your feet with us? Restored. The vine. Restored. Joy is back in the sons of men. The floor is full. The storehouse, Brother Doug, is running over. Yeah, I felt that spirit come at me. Oh, Brother Andrew, quit saying that. One of these days, Brother Doug's going to run out of stuff to preach, and he's just going to be repeating himself over and listen here, my dear friend. I guarantee you, if Brother Doug pastors another 50 years, when he gets done, there'll still be stuff he didn't preach. Because he's digging from a restored word. You know why? It's the same old to you, because you lost the joy of hearing it. Woo! Went over like a lead balloon, but it's the truth. Yeah. You lost your joy in hearing it. What used to excite you now moans you. I've heard it before. That's the same old quote he read 2 weeks ago. Ain't he got anything new? And while you're over there moaning, somebody else over saying, feed me, Lord. Speak to my heart. Change my life. Read it again, Brother Doug. Preach it again. Sing it again. Why? We're back in the presence of God with salvation. But we hold. I feel like dancing right now. But we got more than salvation, church. We've got the joy of salvation. We enjoy this. We enjoy these songs. We enjoy this atmosphere. We enjoy this presence. We enjoy this anointing. We enjoy these realities. What has happened, church? Brother Hoyer, we have gone from the ridiculous to the sublime. This ain't no burden. This is a pleasure. Somebody better come get me, and the devil better get out of here. What's wrong with him? He's got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Are y'all hearing me? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This victory that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I'm not ashamed of it. I salute it. I welcome it. I praise it. I exalt it. I want it. I want it. And I know your pastor wants it too. Come on in, Lord. Your children have been restored to give you a fit. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get. Victory today is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Oh, power is mine. Oh, power is mine. Oh, power today. Same spirit. I told Satan to get thee behind. Oh, power today. I feel good. Oh, rapture is mine. Oh, rapture is mine. Oh, rapture today is. This is that. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. Oh, rapture today. Oh, healing is mine. Oh, healing is mine. Oh, healing today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. Oh, healing today. I like this one. Restoration is mine. Restoration is mine. Restoring power today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. Restoring power today. Oh, won't you just be flexible? Joy is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Don't it feel good to be restored? Don't it feel good to be rejoicing and know what you're rejoicing about? Get thee behind. Rejoicing today is mine. Oh, won't you give him some praise? Won't
don't you praise him on the piano, sister? Won't you praise him on them drums? Won't you praise him on them guitars? Won't you praise him on that organ? Won't you praise him? Oh, the tree has received life again. The Holy Ghost is back in the church. The same signs, the same wonders, the same anointing, the same sensation, with the same kind of people acting the same kind of way with the power of restoration. Oh, devil. Whoo. It's a dangerous spot to be in right now. We've been restored. We've been restored, Brother Micaiah. Okay. We ain't going back. We ain't drying up. We ain't quietening down. We ain't formalizing up. We're going to stay just as flexible as we ever was. Well, it's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping us flexible, keeping us alive. Over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus is keeping me. I like this one. Well, it's down in my feet, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, down. Okay. It's flowing through the vine. It's down in my feet, and it's keeping me alive. Well, Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's down in my heart, and it's keeping me alive. I got joy. I got liberty. You got joy. You got liberty. Go ahead. Enjoy it. Enjoy your liberty. Enjoy your salvation. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. We're not dead. We're not stuck up. We're not starchy. We're flexible. We're flexible with the Spirit of God. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, glory. Aren't you glad to have some life tonight? The world is dried up. Denominations are dried up. Man-made trees are dried up. But the bride tree has got life in her tonight. She's got power in her tonight. She's not here in prison. She's not here in chains. She's here in freedom. She's here in liberty. She's here in Holy Ghost liberty. We've been restored, Brother Doug. We've been restored. Brother Doug, we've been restored for moments like this, when the same spirit that blew through the upper room begins to blow through the church once again, and trees begin to feel, amen, the joy of the Holy Ghost coming in the church. It's a new generation. The old fighters are dead. The old generation's gone. It's your time. Oh, glory. I've not lost my mind. I know exactly where I'm at. You say, Brother Andrew, you better be careful. We ain't got no right to do this. Well, you tell me what. If a bunch of painted-faced, bobbed-haired Jezebels can dance in music, and deacons married 3 and 4 times in the charismatic world can shout, don't you think some fully restored, redeemed, blood-bought sons and daughters of God ought to be able to rejoice in the liberty of the message of the hour? Don't you think it's our time to have a joy? Well, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody help me, brother. Glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. He's touching some people. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, while I was shouting, somebody touched me. While I was shouting, somebody touched me. While I was shouting, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. I like this. Well, he touched me and he told me to turn around. He touched me and he told me to turn around. He touched me and he told me to turn around. And now we're homeward bound. Glory, 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 glory. Somebody, oh glory, a people that's not ashamed. Somebody touched me, must have been the hand. Oh, I like this one. Oh, while I was pulling, somebody touched me. While I was pulling, somebody touched me. While I was pulling, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand. Oh, while I was preaching, somebody touched me. While I was preaching, somebody touched me. While I was preaching, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand. Oh, just give him some praise. Just give him some honor. Just give him some worship. Create in us a clean heart. Restore the joy. Renew the spirit. Refresh us tonight, God. Give us back our victory. Give us back our joy. We want it tonight, Lord. Glory. Oh, glory, glory. Somebody, one more time. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory. Somebody touched me. Must have been the hand. I like this. Well, he touched me and I turned around. Somebody, oh, touch me and I turned around. Touch me and I turned around. Somebody, oh, and now we're homeward bound. Well, glory, glory, glory. God bless you tonight. God bless you, Bride Tree. God bless you, fully restored, manifested sons and daughters of God. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your liberty. Enjoy your redemption. Enjoy it. Come, brother, my voice.